Call the meeting to order, please.
Who we got?
Hey.
Hey, thanks. I guess I didn't get the memo that we're meeting here.
I followed this. Thank you very much for
no.
I just would like to add that this meeting was properly noticed by the email to the legislature. You just need to read it. Don, would you take a roll?
Legislator Rodriguez.
Present.
Legislator Berkey. Legislator DeLong.
Here.
Legislator Lapp.
Here.
Legislator Litz.
Here.
Legislator Merrill.
Here.
Chairman Malone.
Here. All right. Thank you, everybody.
She's on her way.
Excuse me. Okay. Did she say how long, David?
On my way.
I want to thank everybody for coming. At last month's meeting, we did discuss about moving the meeting to a department, information services. I want to thank everybody for the change of venue, and I wanted Sylvia to be able to tell the legislature, as I think all the departments eventually should do. Like, I know Dean Fabiano wants to move DPW out to where the new family court, that building, just so they can see the space, not just see a piece of paper. So, Sylvia, the floor is yours, please.
Okay. Welcome, everybody, to Information Services.
Thank you.
I wanted to just, as Jim said, give everybody an idea of what it is that we actually do here. Let me start with some introductions. I have, I'm Sylvia Wolford, the director. Not everybody knows. I have underneath me three assistant directors who take care of different arms of the department. So Chris Fiore is my assistant director for tech support. He's just going to give you a brief overview of what that is, and then we can get into more detail.
Just real quickly, my area is responsible for the server and network infrastructure, which is basically the unseen plumbing that keeps the data communications running for the county. So we do a lot of problem resolution, troubleshooting, finding technical solutions to different problems. Basically, you don't really recognize what's behind the scenes until there's a problem, and then that's what we work on.
Are you the guy we call when our email doesn't work or something like that?
Email is part of our responsibility.
Right. No, I know.
Red Carl's not here.
And then Tom Stanmeyer is my assistant director in charge of operations.
And we handle, I'm going to say, a good percentage of the day-to-day issues that arise in the county. We're the first point of contact through our help desk. So if you have an email problem, you're probably going to talk to Chris or Jim, but you're going to come through our help desk. Mm-hmm. They try to handle the problems immediately if they can. If not, they'll pass it up. We also provide our computer room operations. We still have two mainframe primary applications for the county, the email system and our public safety system. They have to run, and our operators do a good job in covering the whole room with three operators. We also provide our desktop support. Those are the guys who go around when you call and you have a problem. Oh, I don't know. I broke my keyboard. I can't bring this application up. We just got this new desktop app. I need it installed. I need my PC upgraded. These are the technicians. These are the guys who go around and provide that support for the entire county. As you'll see, it's well over 1,000 PCs and over 500 laptops. We do all of the asset coordination for IT assets. We research, we order, we receive, and then we make sure our inventory system is upgraded for everything that is an IT asset. All comes through here. We have to track it and make sure we inventory it. Telecommunications, telephones. We provide telephone support for the county, both landlines as well as cell phones as well as smartphones. And finally, our central services department, which handles large-scale printing and copying jobs, once again, for the whole county. That's it in a nutshell.
And the third arm of information service is application development. And Carla Wainwright is my assistant director for Upstate Development, who happens to be unable to be here tonight, so I'll describe her area. Application development kind of evolved from programmers programming applications from scratch for most of the applications, because a lot of the stuff that we buy now is off the shelf. So this team will go out, review software products, help with RFPs, do evaluations with the departments, help select software, and then go through the process of implementing it with the departments. They do the project management. They will also do business analysis with the department if somebody's having a particular issue where they're getting a backlog of data, or they just know there's a better way to do something. The business analysts will go into the department and take a look at what they're doing and make recommendations. They also do a little bit of small-scale programming, like if it's a unique situation and it just needs a little access database or something, they'll do that kind of work as well.
Okay, so she's actually not doing any of the physical actual development stuff, right? The actual, like, for example, the bus app, right?
Right, correct.
You know?
We purchased that, and then her team will help Bob to do the installation and implementation and all of that work. And then as things go on, if they have issues, they'll assist the departments there also. So those are three major arms, and underneath me there's the administration part that does, requisitions, contracts, and all of that part of the, I mean, it's still a business that has to run, and there's a lot of administration there. So let's see. So our mission, Information Services, is really there just to help all of the other customers, we call them our customers, be able to do their job. So that's our whole purpose for existing. The customers, in our perspective, are all of the county departments. There's 30-some-odd. The number changes a lot, so I think it's around 37. The elected county officials, so you folks, the DA, the sheriff, the county clerk, comptroller. And then we also do work for local municipalities. For the towns, we do assessment rolls and tax rolls. We host a GIS application for the town. For the school districts, we also do tax rolls, and we have developed a tax collection system that they use. So we do have a relationship with the municipalities and schools. And then we also have public who come directly to us to get reports. They can order labels. They can get mats printed. So that's our customers, and they're the people that we serve. So both Chris and Tom talked about the infrastructure, and that's that stuff that's underneath, all the work that people do, and the ideal thing is that you never know it's there. And there's quite a bit that goes into running all of the applications in the county. If you think about it, we're running, 30 different lines of business, and each one has their own separate type of applications. We've got bus and transportation, we've got police with mobile data terminals, we've got a health department. So there's such a variety of stuff. There's a lot involved underneath the hood there that needs to be kept running. So the network, which and the servers are Chris's area, and the wide area network is what connects all of the county buildings together. And then within each of the county buildings, there's a small network called a local area network, which allows the departments to talk within themselves, and there's a server in each of those where they store all their data and run their applications from. And then, so there's 42 network sites, there's 110 servers. The storage that we have, pieces are spread out around the county, but we have a couple of very large storage devices that hold, terabytes of data. So a terabyte is a 1,000 gigabytes, which is 1,000 megabytes, which is 1,000 kilobytes. So 50 terabytes of data that we're storing for the county.
Do we use a cloud system as well or no?
We do.
Because like I say, because 50 actually sounds kind of low, actually.
It seems like a lot to me. But
I hate
yeah,
terabytes of data myself.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, we'll probably see it growing. It never stops. Then the next thing, printing, copying, faxing, that's Tom's area, all the desktop and end-user devices, the things that sit on your desks. Mm-hmm. Like Tom said, over 1,000 desktop PCs, over 500 laptops. So each of these need to be kept running, need to be replaced on a regular cycle. Problems always pop up. Let's see. Tom's also in charge of the phones. So the volume, again, 1467 deaths, 143 cell phones. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of getting a feel for the volume of stuff that we work with. We've been rolling out mobile devices a lot lately. Departments have been seeing value in being able to do work out in the field. So tablets have become very popular.
Who's got the 58 tablets?
Public Works has some. The district attorney has some. The health department. Help me out, guys.
Bob.
Oh, yeah. UCAT. Yep. We're putting them in the buses. For collecting fares.
I don't know how I feel about that. Well, come
anybody?
On the bus, we'll show you.
That's the next field trip. We're going on the UCAT bus, the next field trip.
And we'll just drive through the whole county, have it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't
know
about
that.
We can stop at the bars.
And then the smartphones are also much more popular now because the ability to access your email, and calendar and websites and apps is, there's a great demand for that now. Applications, for those of you who aren't really familiar with the term, an application is a program that allows you to do a certain job. Very basic way to say it. So I was saying before how we have all of these different departments, and each one of them has specialized applications for their own needs. Besides the ones that run across the county, like the financial system, the payroll system, the email system, you know, there's the ones that are used by everyone. Then we have the ones that are, for each of the departments. And then internet, we do have two internet circuits, 50 meg each, soon to be 100 meg, because the more you go out to the cloud, the bigger that pipe has to be. Mm-hmm. And our website, we have four different sites that we're maintaining, and then email, over 100 users. So it's a pretty big, you would call it medium to large size infrastructure in the counties go. And we are pretty advanced in the technology that we have. Let me move on.
What are the four different websites, by the way?
There's tourism, there's the county exec's site, there's the GIS site that we have for the mapping, and then there's the county clerk has the archives where you can look up.
So when you say county exec, you mean the county website?
County website.
All right.
Yeah, I should.
It's not his own personal one.
Yes, okay. You're quite right. Sorry.
Okay, just.
True. Let's see. So now the services. So all we're keeping all of that infrastructure running, and some of the stuff we touched on already, so I'll just point out the things that I think are different. One of the toughest things in our job is keeping abreast of the technology because it's changing so frequently. So, these guys are always out there researching, even, our techs are always coming in with, hey, look what's new in Windows, whatever. And we go to conferences, IT directives conferences, we've got, connections with our vendors, where they'll always come in and say, hey, here's what's going on, you should look at this. So that takes a fair amount of time, but it's really interesting. So we do try to keep on top of things, and we use that information to set our strategy and to set standards, because one of the roles that we have is to make sure that all these different technologies that are coming in will all work together, and we won't have major issues or holes in the process. And then we do infrastructure design. A lot of that is in Chris's area where he'll make recommendations on the network and, you know, how things will connect it together. And the next one, security, is very important. I didn't even mention that one before. That's in Chris's plate, on Chris's plate as well. Designing the security, you know, where do we need firewalls, where do we need virus programs, you know, what kind of security testing do we do? We have intrusion detection. We have a service that searches our websites for holes. So that's another big part of what we do. And then we talked about procuring inventory, procuring and inventorying equipment, installing applications. We talked about that. Tom talked about his help desk. We have that service. And Tom's team does a lot of the first line troubleshooting too. Questions come in from the help desk. We have one person on the help desk who's very much more technical than the other, but they both sort of complement each other where they can do a lot of first call resolution. If it doesn't meet, if they aren't able to solve the problem, it gets passed up to level two, either Carla or Tom or Chris to assign to their team. One more page of services. And a lot of this next things I talked about in Carla's area where we have the project management and business analysis and application implementation where they're working with the departments to actually find a software solution for them and then help to implement it. We do the email administration support, and we said that. Small apps said that. And then GIS application development. GIS is a geographical information system, and we have a GIS team that will make maps that show visual representations of data. So, you know, it's green if there's 0 to 10.
Percent
coverage. Yes.
Actually, one of the easy things was the redistricting. When we did redistricting, we needed to use GIS to be able to kind of go and map out
the
different areas by election districts, which will tell you what numbers people are in there.
They can do
right. That's an easy one.
You buy them.
And everybody.
You pay for them, run through them.
If it's a county department, you get it for free.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a citizen.
I mean, for my election district, I pay the price to get a large map, so mm-hmm. it's easier for me to go.
Mm-hmm. I was actually wondering, do nonprofits get a different rate than private businesses when they come to you for that?
I don't think so, but mm-hmm. I can check that. I'll check with our customer support for the ones. Let's see. Projects. So projects are... There's so many projects and so little time. So we typically have, like right now, 34 active projects on our plate. It gets a little unmanageable. So I'm always looking for good ways to kind of prioritize these. But some of the stuff that we're working on now, one of the big ones is purchased a new email system to replace Lotus Notes. And we've selected Microsoft Office 365. So that will be coming, be rolling out to our pilot group in August and September, and then out to the departments. Our target is October, November. So we want to have it done before the end of the year. And that will have online access to your email from anywhere. It'll have Skype for business. It'll have collaboration tools. There's a lot of things that come automatically with your email. It's not just email anymore. We're putting Wi-Fi at the fairgrounds and the pool. We are implementing a new help desk system, so when they call Tom's team, they can better track and analyze the problems that come in. We're trying to get a lot of paper into electronic format so that we have more easily accessible documents and mm-hmm. less storage space. So we're doing the tax rolls for finance because they're required to be available to the public. So now they don't have to go and look through the books. Public Works is getting a new work order system. I mentioned Bob's tablet for the buses, tablet project. The sheriff has a couple big projects going on with mobile access for their car. The civil area is getting a new system with pistol permit program. Clerk is doing a whole reorganization of their record management building across the way to update the computer system for that so they can easily find documents and have boxes scanned and can handle retention of documents when to get rid of the paper. Their goal is to empty stuff out of that building so it doesn't overflow. Real property system, migrating to new infrastructure.
What does that mean?
That means that it's boring stuff, that the stuff, the servers that they were running on are getting old. So we're picking it all up and moving it to a new platform that is more up to date, and actually we have a lot more control over on the back end. So it's one of those projects that's not sexy at all. It's just kind of what you got to do. But I guess mostly my point here is that, you know, we're working for everybody. You know, crime victims, social services. So that's our customers. So when we're putting things in our budget, we're really putting them in for everybody. So it may look like my budget's getting out of hand, but all of the technology money for, you know, with certain exceptions for reimbursable or grant-funded projects, it all just comes into my budget, so it really looks like I'm a big hog. But really, it's there to help all of the departments to be able to do what they need to do to take care of the citizens.
How many employees do you have?
29.
How many of them are actually sort of like frontline? There you go. It's your next slide.
It's my next slide and my last slide, too. So this is sort of the hierarchy. We've got Chris, me on top, Chris, Tom, and Carla. I have two account clerks to help me with all of that administrative stuff and contracts and all of that. Chris's team is woefully lacking at the moment. We've got a vacancy there that's yet to be filled, so he and Chris and Jim have their hands full with all of that server and network infrastructure. And then Tom's team has the most headcount because of the volume of tasks that they need to perform. So he's got the two help desk people. He's got the central services and the three computer operators to handle two shifts of processing. His five desktop technicians who are the ones that are out in the field taking care of the PCs, the printers, whatever they're having a problem with. Our asset coordinator, anything that comes in, he does receiving and inventory and auditing and reporting. And our telecommunications coordinator, who handles all of the phone coordination. So that's Tom's team. And then Carla has two systems analysts who are the team leaders, and underneath them they have four programmer analysts, which is kind of a level down. So they can do smaller analyst jobs, and they can do those small programming jobs that I mentioned before, where they'll just do an Access database for somebody. And then our GIS team leader, who coordinates all of the mapping projects. That's my team.
You don't have two GIS people?
Tom Hines is a program analyst.
I see.
But he works under Rick. Rick is the team leader.
Okay, great.
But Tom is doing GIS work. So that's my team. And I'm proud of them. Mm-hmm.
As you should be. Hi. Sylvia, do you still do, I'm going back to Lee Taylor and Joe Lemmy days. Do you still do communications for the sheriff?
Yes.
It's one thing I don't think you mentioned.
Oh, yes. So you mean the cars and all of that? Yeah, so what we do that's a good point, for the Sheriff's Department is we run a public safety application that has computer-aided dispatch and police records, as well as 911 communication. And we share that out with all of the local PDs, so they also can enter their data in that, and they can get dispatch from the same system, so we're all doing a shared service this way. And all of the technology in the cars, we help to set up. The sheriff is actually pretty good about maintaining that, and they have a tech over there that will help, you know, actually do in-car stuff, but we've set up the infrastructure on the back end to get the communications from the car back to the county files, fingerprint information up to New York State. So there's quite a lot of technology behind what goes on in those sheriff cars. Anything else?
Any questions for Sylvia?
Yeah, one more. Tom mentioned that the some of these mobile and tablet devices are very efficient in terms of, well, cost benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So do you do cost benefit analyses on upgrades in general?
Certainly on major applications. We haven't been doing them on the tablets. We would talk with the department and understand what it is that they're doing. And, you know, the tablets are, I think, what are they now, $1,000? With all the accessories.
With all the accessories, you're going to pay over $1,000. But we also get deals from our service provider. For example, Bob got all of his tablets for 99 cents a piece.
Can I jump in?
Oh, please, yes.
In our department, we run on mobile data terminals. Those are $5,000 a piece, and ours are outdated, which meant that we had another investment of $5,000 for 30 buses.
Mm-hmm.
We now are going to do the tablets for 99 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So there are substantial savings that come with it.
Because
I'm thinking
about
the
lights back on.
Yeah.
Because the tablet downloads directly there. Nothing is the same software program is loaded onto the tablet that used to be on the mobile data terminal. It's just a less expensive way of doing exactly the same thing. Any better and less expensive.
So I have a very specific reason for asking this.
Okay.
We make thousands and thousands of photocopies for every single session, every single month. So I'm wondering if we could run a quick cost-benefit analysis.
I can assure you, Vicki and I were actually looking into putting that into the budget this year, but we didn't have the room. But I think in the future, that's very certain that we're going to consider doing that.
You know that we control the budget and we can actually just do it, right?
You
know,
I mean, if you guys want to like talk to Vicki and do it, I don't know if she's opposed to it or for it yet, but we were running the numbers on
it.
Just for the sake of, you know, emailing it to everybody instead of printing it, I don't think she's opposed to it.
No, but then you'd also have
it.
You'd also have it. You'd also just have it, like, right there.
We each have a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
It's also just the optics of it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're wasting so much paper. I mean, I come to a meeting with a pile that I already got, and, like, there's another pile there waiting for me that's the same pile. So it seems like we should consider that.
And often the amendments aren't even in there anyway.
Right.
What's the useful life on one of our tablets, if I may ask?
I'm sorry, Doc?
What's the useful life on one of our tablets, if I may ask?
We get them with 3-year warranties.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we purchase them with. You know, I can't say that we've thrown one away yet.
Now, when did I get mine?
One of the apples.
I'm sorry?
One of the
old apples. Have you
asked
for that one?
HP. Elite the pads.
I know the apple, which they last for...
Well,
I mean, I got my original one, and I upgraded, got the other ones.
We're thinking 3 to 5 years.
My first one, I gave it to my grandson, who's 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I know those Apple ones last a pretty long time.
Anyhow, I think, you know, if we were also calculate the paper, the recycling, the life cycle cost, the staff time, I think we should.
I can tell you, 6 months of paper for our office is roughly $500 to $600. So.
If you would like, I mean, this is a perfect opportunity for your department to reach out to ours as you're planning something like that, and then we would like sit in with you and say, okay, what are you thinking of? All right, the best way or a couple different solutions would be this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a good time for us to collaborate, and then you'll have more accurate idea of what you really will need.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. David?
Thank you, Sylvia. And I can say that, firsthand, I've dealt with information services a number of times throughout my time since Sylvia's been there, and every one of them have been an extremely pleasant experience. Mm-hmm. They're always very good at getting the information to you very quickly and very pleasant about doing it. I mean, it's really a pleasure to work with you.
One more question. One thing, just to echo Dave, all the experiences that I've had with information service, and I still, I know things that you guys do, like you print the city water bills. There's a lot of little services that are tucked in each one of those slides that people don't realize. I mean, not just the assessment business, but like I said, the billing for the cities, and maybe you do something for another town. I mean, there's a hundred different things
mm-hmm.
that those slides are.
Maybe we'd be here all night.
I know, but that's what I mean. That's the. I can remember years ago when the town did something, and I had like 7,000 letters that and they needed to be folded. And I don't know, is the guy still back there? Is mm-hmm. the same guy?
Yes.
And I said, "What? Come back in 2 days." He goes, "Come back in a half an hour." 7,000 letters folded and stuffed in envelopes in a half an hour.
Wow.
I'd still be there folding them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Just one other question.
Yes.
Was it 2008 when we started with the new website with the county executive? What was the year?
I can't even remember. I remember
sitting in here for hours with you guys, and we talked about a content management system.
Mm-hmm.
One where there would be a lot more interactivity with the public, and also where departments might have an opportunity, whether vetted or not, to share what's going on in their departments on a more sort of real-time basis.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering what happened with that? And
the content management system is installed. Mm-hmm. It's implemented, and departments do have that ability to update their own content.
Okay.
Some have chosen to do some more interactive stuff
mm-hmm.
with the citizens, but I would really love to see that take off more.
Yeah.
But that's something that's on the radar.
So is that something that if there were a little smaller sort of subcommittee of us, if we wanted to see that the legislature has a more sort of interactive relationship with our constituents,
mm-hmm.
we could learn how we could use it.
Yeah, and actually, didn't we just do a project with the legislature?
I know Victoria has probably been the one who has taken the lead on that from our end in a general sense, but to Berkey's point, though, to Legislative Berkey's point, it's still something that we can.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So we mm-hmm. can follow up on that with you.
We've never really tried to modify any like our own pages or right. how do we make our own sort of.
Even if each legislator would want to have his or her own communications
mm-hmm.
relationship with their public and drive things to that page.
Yes.
I think that would be really nice.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing I didn't mention during the on the last slide, besides my team, I have managed services and consultants that I can call on to provide expertise that we don't have. And we have an arrangement with Next Step Digital for website design and implementation development. So what we would do is one of our staff, usually it's been Tom Hun, and Next Step would get together, he'd interview you, see what it is that you guys are looking to do. They throw out ideas, they send back a proposal.
Okay.
And that's how it goes. You need to evaluate whether it's worth it.
And we'll schedule for that.
Thank you, Sylvia.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
All right. Getting back to our agenda. Everyone was circulated the minutes of our July 5th and then our July 19th special meeting. Are there any additions, deletions? Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any additions, changes, corrections as the minutes as presented? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve them?
So moved.
Second. Sure.
Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carried. Moving on to resolutions. Resolution number 296, authorizing payment over existing rails in Midtown Kingston.
Second.
Second. Discussion? David?
I put this in after receiving a communication from RailMart that was talking about the possibility of connecting Maine and back into the Maine at some point or another. And I was hoping that we could leave that open. And I realize that we have a contract now with Catskill Mountain Railroad, but I still don't think that that would preclude the Catskill Mountain Railroad, but would not preclude them from doing it. I don't think they would have a problem with being part of that. In fact, they would love the idea of having a connection to the Maine because it saves them a lot of money trying to get equipment there. Otherwise, all equipment is done over road, which is an expensive way to move railroad equipment. I realized that you had some things, I think, from Betty Barry LaDuke and somewhere else saying that you shouldn't do that and so on and so forth. And I sent something back to everybody, giving you an understanding of where, you know, showing you a lot of places where it is done and has been done. My main thing is I don't want to see the tracks ripped up at that point, because by paving over them, then you don't have to remove them. And you can still use the trail. And still build the trail.
Okay. Hector?
Thank you. To the chair, to Mr. White, is there any downside to doing this? Because it seems like there's upside.
We've previously provided letters from the National Park Service, who develops trails all over the Northeast. They highly recommend against doing this. We've provided letters from our engineers saying that this would be very difficult to maintain when you pave over metal, which in the cold and heat expands and contracts. And when you pave over rotting elements like old rail ties, it basically will end up collapsing the structure of the asphalt. So the other thing to think about here is that connection to the main line has not been in place since 1991. The Catskill Mountain Railroad has been bringing in equipment over the entire length of its prior lease by truck. The Catskill Mountain Railroad is now under a permit, and they have all of the equipment that they need at this time. In fact, the only thing they're trying to do is get rid of some of the older equipment that was collected over the years. So they've been dispatching equipment to museums in Pennsylvania and in other areas. Putting the switch back really isn't just building a connection. It's a $250,000 capital project, and it has been opposed vigorously by CSX. We don't have the volume of freight. You wouldn't connect the line just to bring in a few pieces. If you had a major industry in the Catskills that was shipping, that's when you might do it. So, again, we haven't even formed a capital project for the Kingston Linear Park. We haven't hired an architect or an engineer or a landscape architect. We've been trying to get CMRR under contract and trying to get the Ashokan Reservoir going. So, you know, again, to do this before there's even an engineer hired seems premature and inadvisable, because we don't. It's without cost estimates. It's without any analysis whatsoever. Thank you.
Anything else? Anything further? Discussion? David?
While I have some different opinions on that, of course, is because I received the letter from RailMart who said that that's what they would want to do, and what they want to do is put a
a possible connection hub once they bring that in to actually unload, use a spot for unloading freight and such on for tractor trailer trucks. But, I mean, if the project is not there, when would they be looking at ripping up those rails?
We don't have a timeline yet.
Well, what would be possible?
I mean, estimated earliest would be maybe 2017, late 2018. The only area where we would propose to pull up rail earlier than that is at Cornell Street. We have EPA doing a phase one and a phase two environmental site assessment. They may need to go in and clear that space to get rid of heavy metals and volatile organic compounds. We won't have the results of those tests for at least a couple months. But if we're, this isn't anyway, like we're going out. We wouldn't be pulling it anytime soon.
Well, anyway, the point was being is that it is done in a number of places. It's been done in Germany. It's been done throughout Europe. In fact, many of the trails you see in throughout Europe have tracks running through those trails, and they are in asphalt. Now, I mean, you can. It's not the best solution, I will admit that, but sometimes the best, you know, sometimes you can't get the best solution. My concern, of course, is as they can, like I said, they pointed out the idea of getting that connected, and it's not about Catskill Mountain Railroad. I'm just saying they wouldn't have a problem with it. They would like it after they had that. I'm not saying that was the purpose of it. But the purpose of it was basically to not rip up those tracks prior to, in other words, unless there's absolutely needed to be done, I'd rather see those tracks remain. If they can pave over them, that would be a better way of going about it, leaving that possible connection, the possibility of making that connection again. And like I said, Railmark pointed out that they would have liked to done that. But they could not. They would not bid on what we put out because it was a broken up bid. In other words, they were saying that they wanted more of the line because they were possibly unloading trucks and such. But I mean, that's you got the notice. I might send what you. That's why they. I asked them why they didn't bid, and they gave me why they didn't bid. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, he was interested in it prior to the. UND Corridor Committee deciding that we were going to have two separate pieces there. So when I asked him why he didn't bid, he sent me the letter, and I sent it to you and everybody else.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just a clarification. We are implementing diligently your policy from December of 2015. We have moved forward the design of the Ashokan Reservoir, which you delineated as trail only. We now have two operating permits that are going to CMRR this week for the western segment and the eastern segment. We will be working on the western segment for rail explorers. I hope to be bringing you a capital project in September or October to repair some of the track out there, which I'm getting estimates for tomorrow on for the design. Railmark wants to do freight, and they wanted to do transloading. That is not consistent with the policy. They wanted to run all the way to Phoenicia, which is not consistent with your policy. There is, and CMRR is not doing any freight. They've advertised freight for years. They know there's no market for freight there. And there's certainly no market for freight to justify $250,000 a year. The reason that was taken out was because we didn't have sufficient freight. And there's a fee to be paid every year if you don't run a certain amount of freight. So again, we're consistent with your policy here. This connection, if you ever want to make it in the future, a better way to do it is to build a strong, solid base, like a road bed, like we're talking about for the trail, and then put new track on it. It would be so difficult to extricate any remaining track from asphalt once you've dumped asphalt on top of it. It just doesn't make sense. It would be easier to start over. And that rail, as you know, is not weldable rail. It's not a modern type of rail that would be put in.
Herbie, that one. Herbie.
Even in this section in Kingston, it still requires a resolution by the legislature to tear the rail up.
Correct.
So it's not
correct.
Like it can be done tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah. Correct.
You don't have to travel to Germany or anywhere else in the country. There's several examples right in our area where we paved over track, and it's not detrimental. You got the trolley down in downtown Kingston, in New Paltz. Mm-hmm. The rail is still there for 100 years, paved over, and it gets HS-20 highway loading on it, and it's not deteriorated. There's rail that runs from Highland Landing all the way up through the middle of town, all the way up beyond the top of the hill, which is probably three-quarters of a mile or a mile, and it's you can see the exposed rail. The ties and everything are still there. It's been there for over 100 years, and it's not deteriorating. So there are opinions on both sides of the fence as to whether you can do this or not. It can be done, and it's not going to be detrimental. And we're not putting HS-20 loading out there. These are people on bicycles or on foot. We're not running tractor trailers over it. So I really don't see much of an issue.
Legislator Berkey.
Did you have something in response to that?
I can go.
Mm-hmm. I see obviously both points of view, and I am interested in the idea of potentially protecting the rail if there's a workable solution to that for another reason as well, which is that this is part of our sort of, I guess you could say, industrial
heritage
that could be revealed as a part of the experience of being on the trail. So if it's not detrimental, it's something we might consider. What I would really like to see is more of a, and I like this in every situation, a technical analysis and a cost analysis related to both. Because, for instance, if there are examples of where it's been paved over and it has had the loading that, as Legislator Litt said, I would like to see what the arguments are on both sides written out. We have the letter that the planning department provided, and we have some other information they provided. But it seems to me like we're getting arguments from both sides, and making that decision is a little bit difficult at this time.
No, it is. It's an interesting, you know, David, you're talking about, you know, putting a switch back. But once you put the switch back, you're going to go from where to where to a permit, a section of the track that's under permit for 5 years, mm-hmm. to a walking portion of the track once you cross 28A.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
It doesn't make sense.
I get that, but I do think that I think I'd like to understand a little bit more about the technical explanations. I mean, I know that the planning department has that information, but we've received it in a way that there's not a narrative behind it. It's more of a, here's this letter, and here's this, here are these examples. And I just feel as though, having worked, for instance, with, and you probably know some of these people, Chris, who do a lot of work on interpretation of trails, that having the heritage there is a part of what makes it interesting and valuable as part of the experience. I think people should understand what they're walking on, and if there's no harm done. But I think we have to understand all of that, I think, more, I don't know, in a more holistic fashion, rather than just making these decisions piecemeal.
Hector.
Michelle, I'll defer to the majority.
Thank you. I understand what you're saying, Dave. I think this is not a complete piece here, and I don't think the financial impact is none. I mean, you're talking about paving, and I think we have a good starting point from our resolution in December, and I'm not saying that this isn't something to help or hurt or whatever you may say, but I don't think this is complete. I think it's too simple, and we've come so far, and I don't want to just do something quick, and I'm going to be a no if you're going to bring it to vote tonight.
David. I'm sorry, Hector. David, go ahead.
Well, this is the Economic Development Committee, correct? Now, as I pointed out, something was sent to me in reference to what they wanted to do. I mean, why not interview that guy, have a conversation with him? So we set a policy. We've set policies in the past, and we change policies when things change, hopefully. I mean, if you have information that changes the way you were going to look at something, shouldn't you look at it? I mean, that's the way I kind of like the way I see it. I mean, you know, I got the information from, when I asked him why he didn't bid. He explained to me why he didn't bid. Now, and listed out what he had as an idea that he wanted to move forward with, but he said he did not put it. I said, well, why didn't you put it in a bid? With the broken up trail rails, he said it didn't make much sense at all. So,
understood.
But he did point out the other things, and that's going to be a sign.
Chris?
Typically, when we design a trail, the first thing we do is a scoping of alternatives. And what I'd suggest is this. Rather than prejudge what the surface is going to be or how it's done, I will give you a commitment that when we start the project, and I'm not clear when we're going to start the project because we just applied for some funding through the CFA, we're waiting for the results of the contamination, we will look at the option of burying it. I would give you that we'll look at the alternative, and that way, at some point in the future, before you vote on construction, we can give you the alternatives with documented, like Legislator Berkey was saying, with documented costs and benefits and with a price tag on it. And that way you can say, look, if we pave this, it's X amount. If we'll look at stone dust, because maybe if you're going to bury it, it actually makes sense to do compacted stone dust over top it. I think you'd have less issue. You know, the issue, I think, it really is drainage in that corridor and holding up the sides of this thing by the drainage. But we can advance it as an alternative to be explored. I don't think we'll be starting design. You actually have to, I'm not going to begin design on it without coming back to you for a capital project, right? And so I won't, frankly, my priority right now is getting the Rail Explorers permit done and getting the track fixed at Boyceville so that they can operate. Right now, I don't have a timeline for advancing the Kingston Linear Park. We've kind of put that on hold pending the outcome of our funding request and also the contamination.
Jennifer?
Forgive me if this has been answered in the past. The removal of the rails, is that always a competitive bidding process?
Yes.
I know, because we had Iron Horse in Kingston.
We would use Iron Horse.
With some pretty unpleasant leave behinds as part of that. And we all know that.
Yeah. We would bid it as part of the construction package. Okay. And the salvage value of the rail, of course, offsets some of the disposal costs of the creosote ties.
Okay. Just confirming that.
I was just going to suggest that, you know, per everything that we've sort of discussed here, I think if we're going to push for a vote, then I'm probably going to err on the side of voting no. But if we're going to come back to this issue again, it may make more sense to postpone it and actually just kind of get just a better understanding of what the implications are if we end up doing this or not doing this. I think I am concerned about the points that Mr. White brought up in terms of, you know, if we end up paving over this, you know, these particular rail ties probably aren't even exactly the ones that you may want going forward because they're not weldable. So I'm assuming that they're held together.
The rails themselves, yeah. not
the
tires.
Yeah, no, I'm saying no, the rails. Not the rails.
I believe they're 39-foot boldable rails.
Yeah, the
boldable,
right? Yeah.
I mean, they're...
Which is like the ones, the ones your granddaddy, you know.
Small railroads use any, they all use those type of rails. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, you're not using ribbon rail and, you know, throughout, you know, these, they don't ever replace them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not talking to mainline here. All these small railroads, no matter where they are, they're all bolted rail. Most of them are either 39, 33, depending on the gauge of the rail.
But if we're talking about future use, we don't know what all that future use is going to be.
You're not going to change them out.
Could we get examples of the rail that is now being used atop the new paved surface so that...
You know,
the new rail is...
What I would suggest is... we're not to this project right now.
Yeah.
Could we just do this like every other project that the county does and do a thoughtful
yes.
analysis?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this would be like saying if somebody brought a piece of legislation saying Catskill Mountain Railroad can only operate on Wednesdays, mm-hmm. we would all say, well, why would you do that? Because that doesn't make sense. As long as, like, we didn't do this with the permit. Why do this with the trail portion?
And by the way, I want you to know, I support Wednesdays. There's nothing good on TV on Wednesdays.
So we're pushing hard for Wednesdays.
Do you want me to withdraw my moving?
Whatever the
you'd
like to do.
You want me to withdraw, Dave? So
Dave, what do you want to do?
No, it's fine. Maybe something does. I think whatever the when the project moves forward, then I'll push this more when it moves forward, I guess.
Do you want to withdraw
we'll
it, Dave, or do you want to push
it?
Do
you want us to go?
You can just both own it.
Okay, I withdraw my motion.
I'll withdraw my second.
For our rules, when you postpone something, you can only postpone it for a month.
No, it's 90 days, right?
Yeah, but if he withdraws it, he can reintroduce it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I can withdraw it, I can always then reintroduce it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
All right, I'll go for that.
Okay. And we'll include it in any design that we propose.
As an alternative, add a full, like a full alternative, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, moving on.
Then we'll have it in writing from a PE.
Is he the only sponsor of the resolution?
Well,
yes.
You can have to give, for me to accept what you're putting forth, I'd have to see, real.
Steve, I don't know that you're ever going to accept anything that our department puts forth.
All right, let's come on. Resolution 326, establishing a policy for Ulster County bus advertising. Moving right along. Sponsored by legislator David Donaldson. David, the floor is yours.
The point is...
Is there a motion?
Move
it. Is there a second? Second by legislator Litz.
All right,
David, sorry.
For discussion.
When I've actually voted against the advertisements the last couple of times when they came up, because my mindset of these buses is they should be used more effectively for what we are doing. We have billboards in various places throughout the county, which I have to find out what the numbers are. Perhaps you can find out, Don, out.
I can pull some.
The numbers are what we're paying for those billboards. Mm-hmm. And I also have a... the idea, and I have nothing against the attorneys that are on the sides of those buses, that I know them personally, and I happen to like them. They're actually, Eli's a personal friend of mine. I've known him since I was a kid.
Harry Potter there.
What's that?
And the Harry Potter guy next door.
And then there's also, and Joe Connor is on them, and of course, his group is, and they do a lot for the city of Kingston. I have a lot of respect for that, for them on what they can, contribute back to our community. But it is, in a sense, promoting litigation in a way. Not that we need to, that's a bad thing necessarily, but when we take a look at this on the buses, we can use much more effectively. For instance, when you had the kids from Ellenville, the students, if you remember, when they did the anti-drug thing, mm-hmm. the one poster, because mm-hmm. I asked them to blow it up because I wanted to mm-hmm. read it, the poster was so effective. It had to be one of the most effective posters I've ever seen about heroin and the effects of heroin. And mm-hmm. it was pretty short, but it was very, very effective. That poster should be on a bus. Instead of, come to my attorney's place or whatever, or bail, the city of Kingston has bail bonds on theirs. So I understand that we have contracts at this point. We need to find out what the contracts are, when they end, and so on and so forth. But my take on it is we can make us a much healthier county by using these buses in a more effective way for advertising. Now, maybe you can have them underwritten by Minetti, Minetti and O'Connor, if you want, or underwritten by Eli Bosch or whatever. But my take on it is I would really like to see them use a morph. And then not only that, but you know what was upsetting to me? When I saw that poster and how good that poster was, that poster's going back to that kid's house. It's going to be on his wall. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be anywhere else. I mean, what did they do that for? And that, in other words, and you've seen other things that came out that were very effective in that matter. So my look at this, and I realize that when I put this in, you know, there's more work that has to be done. We need to get the information on the, the contracts. We need to get the information on billboards. Mm-hmm. What we're paying for them, because if we're paying for billboards, why are we using it? And let's face the reality, a billboard's stationary. It sits in one spot. Mm-hmm. The drug problems we have in this county are not in one spot. They're throughout the entire county. So, and those buses ride throughout the county. Mm-hmm. So I realize that it's probably not, you're not going to want to vote on this tonight. I think that the idea is that, it's got to be worked through. So I'm asking the committee, how do you want to work through this? Do you want to be part of the working through it, or do you want, in other words, you can do a subcommittee if you want to work through it, if you're interested in doing it, or you tell me.
Just a couple of questions, Mr. DiBella. How many buses in a normal, at noontime on a Tuesday, how many buses are on the road?
Probably around 20, 21.
About 20, 21. And all of them are wrapped?
No.
About how many are wrapped?
Probably at any one time, six or seven.
Six or seven. Okay.
The thing is, Minetti and Minetti is our only lawyer. Has always been our only lawyer. There's no bail bonds. There's no other lawyer.
David, since this topic came up, and I just wanted to, all I ever saw was Minetti and O'Connor, but since I've seen Health Alliance is on one.
Yeah.
I think SUNY. Did I see SUNY Ulster?
SUNY Ulster.
SUNY Ulster. I noticed those the other day. I shouldn't have kept my eye on the road, but
here are all the advertisers. I'll pass these around. All stop. Got mine. It's three pages. And pass them down. So the advertisers have been Planned Parenthood, SUNY New Paltz, Office for the Aging, Ulster County Community College, Minetti and Minetti, SUNY New Paltz, did I say? Yeah, I did that already. Hudson Valley Federal Credit Union, Jules Vision. That's it.
So are we going to withdraw it again?
It's three pages.
Each one's a packet. You got it.
Okay. The other thing that is in this packet is the Schedule A1, which talks about the subject matter that's allowed on the bus. And it covers just about everything. We won't have check cashing services, tattoo parlors, pawn shops, adult entertainment, massage parlors, adult bookstores, X-rated movies, tobacco, alcohol.
They're not allowed.
Not
that's
allowed.
All part of DOT. Exactly.
It also says that it has to be commercial in scope. There'll be no false, misleading, libelous, or deceptive ads. And I get, and actually I turn it over to legal every time one comes in. We look at the ads and have changed ads and have taken ads out that had alcohol, beer distributors. We've taken ads that didn't end up on the buses because of that.
Yeah, these are all on the interior, correct, or no?
No, these are interior and exterior.
Okay, they are wrapped this way?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it, that's fine.
So it's not only Minetti.
No, it's not.
So the other question I have is the budget numbers surrounding, are those available? What your requirement is for reutilizing the money. We voted on that already.
Right.
But the question is, what the numbers look like in terms of cost and return?
Okay, it costs us nothing. The revenue that we've received so far in 2.5 years is at 28, it's up to about $30,000 in revenue.
that is thrown back into the parks area because it's a requirement of the federal government. If we make money, we have to use it for the department, which means that that's $30,000 that hasn't been sent out to the taxpayers because it's revenue that's coming. It doesn't cost us anything. The beauty of it is that this company has to put them on, take them off, and make the buses look just the way they did before they started. They do all of the promotion, and what we do is give 15% of any of the revenues that goes to the fund. That started out at 10.
Who does it?
Timely Signs, a local advertisement. They're a good, good company. They've worked.
No, they're a very good company.
And when we say no, we can't put it on the bus, there's no arguing. They just won't put it on the bus.
So who came up with this policy, Bob?
The legal department.
So the legal department is now doing policy.
Well, the advertising requirements to put to a legal.
Yes. No, but that's different. That's just the requirements. I have some policy.
Well, there is no policy. The requirements are
not, but there is.
Ulster County Department of Transportation advertising requirements. That's how it's stated right on the contract.
That would look cool on Saturday.
Right, exactly.
I have a question.
Yes, Legislator Berkey.
When I can I discuss for the point of, you know, the stationary billboard has a certain visibility, has a certain impact. A mobile billboard has a much greater impact, and I happen to know someone who owns a company that does this, and I would be interested in knowing what the numbers look like in terms of the benefit to the advertiser, because, again, if we're earning $27,000 or have for how long has this been? Over what?
$30,000 over 2.5 years.
Okay. So if we're earning whatever it is, $8,000 a year, whatever the numbers are, $10,000 a year, actually it's a little bit more, but whatever. Forgive the math. And that benefit is much greater to the particular advertiser. First of all, there's two things here. Some of these are nonprofits who are advertising, like
many
Planned Parenthood. What are their costs versus the cost to a private law firm? And I'd like to just understand what is the exposure that they're getting. So if there's some way that we can understand that, I realize the routes are all different, and look at a lot of people saying this. So even just understanding how mobile billboards are more beneficial to the advertiser than non-mobile billboards, I think would help us make some decisions on this policy if we postpone what we're doing right now and look into it. And I'd be happy to be one of the people who lays out those questions and asks that to advertising industry people.
Thank you for volunteering.
One of the things I would say as far as whether they see return on it or not, all of these folks, Planned Parenthood, SUNY New Paltz, Ulster County Community College, METI, and Hudson Valley Federal Credit Union have re-upped their advertising from year to year. And so they're seeing some kind of a return for it.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I get that. I just want to understand what those, the comparables are for us regarding that.
Interesting.
One other person wants
David,
to
what do you want to do? I mean, and I'll be honest, David, I would hate to be the one to tell Al Minetti that we don't want his business and his name on the side of a bus and see Al's reaction to that is.
I don't think he would be, he'd have a problem with it if you had a conversation with him.
No, but
that guy will have a conversation.
Yeah, but I mean, David, I just think it sends a bad, you know, message that we don't. Here we are in this country, and we're going to tell somebody, we don't want your advertising on our bus.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, that's...
What I'm saying is advertising in general, my point is using the buses to advertise things that we need to advertise for the county. We have billboards in various places that we put up, and that's where we may be using some of that. Maybe, and, you know, the idea of... Minetti and O'Connor, they could do it as an underwriting. What you're saying is, we're a county and we have a bus. And what you're saying is, well, then they should be, why don't we put, you know, the you know, X-rated store on there. I mean, why don't we put alcohol on there? You're still advertising.
Because the
people
that fund.
Were you telling me you can't do that?
No, the people that fund the buses.
Right, right. Well, that's the
set
point.
Federal guidelines.
So my take it is that on, I think you create a policy that more or less says that we need to advertise our own. In other words, like, the college is great. That's an advertisement that should be on there. In other words, we're trying to get our people to go to the classes when they have they can do
Planned Parenthood.
Planned Parenthood is fine, and the nonprofits are fine. And I don't really have a problem so much with Minetti and O'Connor. What I'm saying is we're not using those buses in a way that actually combats the drug problems we have in this county. I mean, we have a heroin problem in this county, and every county has it, and it's prevalent, and people don't realize how prevalent it is. And therefore, we could actually move towards trying to do that. In other words, it's a health issue. There's a number of other things. So, you know, teen pregnancy, where should they go? What should they do? In other words, when you have that on that bus, they can do that. Those different things of that nature that could be used on those
buses. Well, you know, we have buses with that.
Hector, please.
Okay, thank you. So, I do agree with, well, not your obsession with Minetti and O'Connor, by the way. This is getting a little healthy right now. I mean, honestly, I was going to make the joke that at least if they're on the bus, I know if I get hit by the bus, I will know who to call in the event of
Dave,
being hit by the bus.
One bus.
That said, the overarching point. That you've made, I still wholeheartedly agree with and embrace and support. And my question to you is, I think there's, of course, a willingness on this committee, but there's also a willingness, as you know, in caucus, which when you brought this up in caucus and others were also willing to help out. So, actually, I'm going to throw that back on you in terms of how do you want to best have
us
do it?
I'm not against Minetti and O'Connor.
I don't know. That's what I heard.
You haven't said that enough, David. I don't think you've said it enough.
Well, the thing is, I don't necessarily like the idea of promoting litigation, but, that's the thing that I have a slight problem with.
They're providing a service.
When they did that, and when did they start doing that? How long ago did they actually begin to put lawyers were able to advertise? It wasn't until the 80s, was it? The mid-80s, late 80s? I'm not sure what it was. Do you remember what it was?
I don't remember. I know that I was in Yellow Pages for about 20 years, and they were in there for the whole time that I was in Yellow Pages.
Yeah, they could do the Yellow Pages, but they weren't allowed to take ads out. They were not allowed to advertise up until, I think, when they did to the 80s.
Well, yeah, because you start seeing on TV.
And that actually made a big change in our country when it came
to
litigation.
Are we withdrawing this?
I think we're going to postpone it.
So, I would like to offer that if you're willing to postpone, I would be willing to work with anyone on this committee and or staff to do some kind of best practices analysis of this kind of advertising. It's not a hard thing to do, and it would help us make our decisions.
And I would also
we could do something
help.
That's more of a win-win. You don't have to throw away the baby with the bathwater.
Very
and
good.
We should have a policy anyway.
Yeah,
should be a policy.
Is that enough?
Okay, so did
that's
you guys
enough,
withdraw
Jennifer
your moving?
That's enough, Jennifer and Hector. You're going to...
They only want to discuss...
You'll get with Don and get the information that you need.
So we're going to
report back to us.
Postpone.
And we are going to actually get together. Now we have meeting number 75. We're going to set up.
Now, if we postpone, we're 90 days.
That's correct.
We can do it for 90?
You can do it for 90 days unless you have the sponsor's approval, I believe.
Dave, why don't you withdraw it and reintroduce it?
No. You can postpone it. No, actually, this one not postpone.
You want to get... You want to
postpone it? Yeah, postpone it in 90 days.
We need a...
But you go beyond 90 days with his approval.
Yeah, but for right now, we're going to do 90 days. So I move to postpone this 90 days.
Well, it's postponed for a month up to 90 days.
Yeah, because it's right now you have the contract. You
can I do that with the sponsor's approval?
And all that kind of stuff.
I honestly don't know that all the time.
Well, and the contract, by the way, Bob. Right, yeah, no. The contracts could be rewritten. That's where it says 20% of this will be dedicated to whatever.
Make a motion.
That's being
done at the moment.
Second.
Move on. All right. Motion and a second to postpone. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Yeah. So carried unanimously. Resolution 367, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county.
Thank you.
And Allen Duss, Inc., Department of Information Service. there a second?
Thank you, Chairman Maloney.
You're very welcome, David. Good to see you.
Take it easy.
There is a motion. Is there a second?
Oh, wait, is this an IS second contract?
Hold on. Yes.
On.
Eat grapes.
Bring Sylvia in. How much money is it?
112,000, full 100% county.
It's like the whole service. Right there.
I think she mentioned it.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? So carried. Resolution number 370, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate increase to be in excess. Thank you, Bob.
How am I going to get home?
In excess of $50,000 entered into by the county. Next Step Digital LLC, Department of Information Services.
Second.
This is the seventh amendment increase, not to exceed the amount.
For discussion.
Website design, development, support services, changing the scope of services to include website design and construction services for the Ulster Works website, $19,250.
It takes 20 grand to go and upgrade the Department of Labor.
You're in the wrong business, Hector. Is there a motion?
You did it, right?
Yes, Hector and Litz.
Hector and Litz. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution number 375, issuing a determination and findings for the Hudson Valley Rail Trail West Phase 4, PIN 8761.21, Town of Lloyd, pursuant to eminent domain procedure law, Department of Planning.
Don't move.
I would like to call everyone's attention. I believe it's to page 3.
Rewording there.
Okay. Where are we?
Last paragraph.
Okay. Trees will only be cleared during the October. It should be October 31st, not 1st.
I need a motion to amend that.
I'll make that motion to amend it.
November to April, right? So, yeah, you're...
Hold on. It can only be done with the sponsor's approval.
Who's the sponsor?
I'll cut the trees earlier. It's okay.
All right.
You're going to get in a little trouble.
You're going to get in trouble with DEC to Indiana back.
On the amendment,
I'll bring a beautiful rail trail.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Before you vote, I thought the dates were April 1st and November 1st. You can cut, and November through, or is it the other way around?
Other way around.
It's for the Indiana bat. It's
during that period you can cut because that's not the the time when they nest and have the young. Mm-hmm.
November 1st to April 1st, you can cut.
Yeah, this
you can
covers
cut.
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll change my vote to aye then.
So we just voted on the amendment?
Yeah.
Yes.
For the 31st, and now we're actually on the full resolution?
Correct.
All right, so Christopher, I have questions.
Yeah.
So we're not, so are we taking anything or are we not taking anything?
We have no plans at this point to take anything by eminent domain. As per the hearing that we did in June, this is a pro forma thing that the DOT asks us to do unless we declare the acquisition de minimis. Because of the lot size of a few of these and the percentage of a few, they're not de minimis. Like when you did
Correct.
South Putt Corners Road, you said these are de minimis.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically said for the federal funding, we want you to do this. It would be great if you don't take it by eminent domain, but we want you to do a public hearing under EDPL. Yeah. We're going to be doing one of these in a few months with the Kingston Rail Trail project as well, which is the connector between the ONW Hurley Rail Trail and the city of Kingston. Right now, I've got four owners who I think are willing sellers. You know, we had concerns from one who came to the hearing. We've worked diligently to make sure that they're going to get what they want, they need, which is that this trail doesn't in any way impede their future access or development of their lot.
And he built a road just to make sure.
Yeah, he took it upon himself to build a road that we're not going to pay attention to for now. But you know what? This is the guy's retirement, and I don't blame him a bit. His wife told me she was having sleepless nights because they're worried about their investment. I get that. I'm a small investor. I wouldn't want my retirement taken away by a trail. And so whatever we do, we're going to try to make them happy. If we were to go to eminent domain, we have to come back to you anyway. So this is a determination and finding, which is just a perfunctory next step in the public hearing. Our next step will be to have the appraisals and come back to you with an actual number of how much that costs. And that's why we withdrew the other resolution that had been put in, because they were estimates. I want to come back with the final number.
Good. Motion and second. All those, motion by Legislator DeLon, second by Legislator Rodriguez. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimously. Our last resolution. Resolution 170, Hector, reauthorizing the update for the countywide economic development strategy, Ulster tomorrow.
I thought you were putting this on hold.
It is actually supposed to be on hold.
Okay, let's put it on hold.
Didn't we actually, as a matter of fact, actually have to postpone until we were actually going to be having our next meeting, and that was, that hasn't even been scheduled yet? Remember, we had so one meeting, and that's it.
No, we had two.
We had two. The first was the three of us. What we were going to do was then define the four areas we want.
We will set up a meeting.
And ask for more discussion on the strategy approach to those.
Okay, so therefore, I'm going to move to postpone this, and I guess another...
Second.
Whatever number of days I can postpone it.
That's fine.
All right.
Very good. Thank you.
You can do it indefinitely.
We'll set up.
I was going to say, that's the part of the rules. I have to reread the rules, quite honestly. 2 weeks. Whether or not you're actually allowed to actually
get through a session.
Can I adjourn or do you still have stuff?
No. That's it?
I'll make a motion to adjourn. Second.
Thank everybody for coming.
Thank you.
You know, really, I'm not just, if you could ever get through, take a see the servers and everything. A lot of stuff happened.